take your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And if you know anything about Philippians, it is considered the joy chapter or the joy book or the joyful book. And Paul, from Philippians chapter 1, all through, you'll see the theme. Philippians chapter 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Paul, he talks about the joy of the believers there at Philippi. If you remember Philippi, what a great church. Remember when Paul and Silas first went there, a lady named Lydia accepted Christ. Paul and Silas are ministering and they're preaching, and a slave girl was demon-possessed, and she was healed by the power of God, and her owners didn't like it. They didn't like it because they were making money on her, and or they'd say today, bank, and they are making money, and they didn't like it, so they have Paul and Silas thrown into prison. Of course, you know what happens. At midnight, they're praying and praising God, worshiping God, and the bars fell open, and the earthquake came, and the bars fell open, and Paul and Silas are set free, and the Philippian jailer says, "Gentlemen, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So the ministry here that Paul has had to this church of Philippians was incredible. And now he's writing them from prison in Rome, and he's going back, and now he is admonishing them, and he's encouraging them, and through this comes out the joy of the Christian life. And we're going to look at that a little bit in Philippians chapter 4. Our text verse will be verse 18. Then we'll back up and we'll look at verse 8 and come back up to verse 18 this morning. We live in a dissatisfied society. We are discontent. And not only are we dissatisfied with people around us or discontented with things we have, but many of us within our own selves, we do things that we are not happy about that we do. In fact, Paul talked about that. He said, there are things in my life that I know I should do. Man, I fail. I struggle with those. Can you relate to that today? And then there are things I know I should do. Man, I don't do those things. And so there's that battle. And so as we come to Philippians chapter 4 specifically, I want us to read as we begin, and then I'll have a word of prayer in verse 18. Recent poll shows that 75% of the United States are dissatisfied with the way the things are going in the United States. Other polls show that people are dissatisfied with the global economy, with our cost of living, with retirement benefits, customer service. We're dissatisfied with our bodies, the way they look. Our spouses we become dissatisfied with, our children, authorities around us, civil authority, leadership. For those that have kids in any school, we're dissatisfied with the school leadership, the principals, the coaches. At work, you're dissatisfied with the boss. You're dissatisfied with the way your neighbor cuts or doesn't mow his yard. Your city streets, the infrastructure. We're dissatisfied with the lack of use of what we have, natural energy. We're dissatisfied with leadership, with our military. We're dissatisfied with maybe your educational systems. You're dissatisfied with product pricing when you go to the grocery store, you go to Kroger, you go to Menards, you go to Lowe's, you go to Meijer. You're dissatisfied with the prices. You're dissatisfied with what you get at a store. You're dissatisfied with the service at a restaurant. Listen, from day one in our society, you go back to Adam and Eve, they were dissatisfied in a perfect garden, weren't they? So is it just perspective? Is it just how I see it or how you see it? Where does this dissatisfaction, where does it come from? We're mentioning restaurants. And last week, of course, we had a new restaurant. I don't know if you're supposed to mention restaurant names, but Smoky Bones just opened. And people say, hey, go to Smoky Bones. It's really good. So I went to Smoky Bones. Well, when we first got in there, I had to use the restroom. So it says hens and horns. Okay. I don't know why these restaurants do that. You know, you go to, you know, cowboys, cowgirls, hens and horns. Well, you know me, I can get in a hurry. And what said hens, I thought said men's. Fortunately, they have a picture right before you walk in the door. So I did not darken that door. I'm glad I didn't. But I'm just satisfied with the way they mark their bathrooms. Okay? Just say men's, guys, whatever. But it's easy, isn't it? Become dissatisfied. And fortunately, I know, after church, you'll forget everything I say other than, now I want you to tell me, I want to tell you the time, Pastor Dan, I went to the girls' bathroom. I know that's coming. Okay? But spare your story, because we've probably done it. Especially when you walk in and you see pink on the walls, you know you don't belong there. And that's the first sign that get out of there. So anyway, but it's easy to become dissatisfied. In our nature, even our sin nature, we want satisfaction. We become discontented. The Apostle Paul, we're going to see a little bit in verse 11. We're not there yet. But not that I speak in request of want, respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Hebrews, he says, and be content with such things as you have. Pride often can be a source of our discontentment, believing that I deserve something. We live in a society where I expect a lot. And by the way, we live in a society where you and I disappoint a lot. I can't live up to everybody's expectations. Can you? It's hard. We have people from all walks of life. We have teachers in here. We have people from the political world in here. We have people from the medical field, the medical staff here. And we can't do enough because we live in a dissatisfied, we want it and we expect it. But later on, we'll see in 1 Thessalonians, in everything, Paul says we're to do what? Give thanks. Be satisfied. Because God, we just heard, he is good and he is still good. And by the way, God is always good. All the time. But we do often have unrealized and unrealistic expectations. We have them of others. And also we have them of ourselves. So let's get into God's word this morning. And let's ask God, God satisfy us. God help us this morning to not live in this frustrated world that we are in. But God, to truly look at you and to see how great you are and how wonderful you are. And we're going to see that through the eyes of Paul this morning. Our text verse is verse 18, and that's what we'll end with here in just a little bit. We have 3 points. This will be our third point coming from Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 18. Here's what Paul says. He's talking to the church. He's writing them this letter. He's talking about the gifts that they have given him. He's talking about them supporting him. And here's what he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. It was his friend that carried the scripture for him, but also carried this cash from Philippians back to him. I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. When we get to that point and that verse, we're going to take each of those words and we're just going to explain what was Paul saying. And we're going to see how he gained satisfaction. And we're going to look at Paul's life because it wasn't a, as we would say, a bed of roses in his life, was it? So much that he went through, we'll bring that out. Let's pray and ask God just to help us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for truth. Lord, it is easy to get caught up in a spirit of frustration, of dissatisfaction. Lord, if you could verbally, audibly speak to us, that I'm sure we are very disappointing to you. But yet, Lord, we look at others. We easily complain. So, God, don't give us the spirit of complaint, of frustration today, but give us the spirit of victory, of power that we can have through you, of joy. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for in this world. May this not just be a message of let's get excited and serve God, let's go for God, but Lord, may we truly be satisfied in the depths of our soul because, God, the only thing that brings true satisfaction is the love of Jesus, the shed blood of Christ on Calvary's cross. And I pray if there's someone here today that does not know that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that they've accepted him as their Savior. Lord, may that be clear and evident. May they accept you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So Paul's concluding this book of Philippians in this theme of the book with joy. If you'll turn back to verse 10, Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now in the last your care of me hath flourished again." There was a time where this church was unable. Epaphroditus was very, very ill. Epaphroditus was unable to send any messages or carry any greetings or carry any support from this church to him. And he says, now you're able. Some of the people fell on difficult times, and Paul is commending them over the years. This is not a message on giving. This is not a message on taking care of your missionaries, taking care of your missionaries or your evangelists. But yet you can see that underlying here. Paul is just thanking this church, said, I am grateful. I'm beyond satisfied with what you have done. Now you're able. You're flourishing. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You didn't have the chance to get it to me. You wanted to, but it didn't get there. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned. Here's what Paul says, in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That word content means to be self-complacent or to be satisfied. Are you a person that it's really hard to satisfy you? I hope not. Because if you are that person just in life, you're going to have that struggle when it comes to what God is doing. Do you often thank God? Even little blessings, material blessings, things that God does for you. God, thank you. Satisfied, be content, even in trials, maybe in patience, maybe in physical needs you're going through. Understand the contentment that you and I can have. So Paul, what he does, he acknowledges God's blessings. And he acknowledges God's blessings, and along with that, he acknowledges man's trials. We'll look at that in a minute. God gives us blessings, but he also gives us trials. You know, when we go through a trial, when we get through that and God gives us mercy and God gives us grace, you know what we do? We look back on it. We say, thank you, God, for that. Thank you for bringing me through that. Does it ever amaze you where God brought you from? You get somewhere and you get to the end of it, or God gives you a blessing and you look back to where you started. What a blessing and what a opportunity to praise God. You say, Pastor Dan, that's just how you look at it. No, it's not. Because a believer in Jesus Christ has praise and has worship and has love for God and has honor, and he realized that everything he has comes from God. That vehicle you drive, I know you worked hard for it. God gives. And the Bible says what? God also does what? He can take it away. Oh, no. You don't know how much I put into that. I parked on the other end of the parking lot on purpose. You don't know how these Christians drive around here. You know what? If God wants a scratch on his car, he can have a scratch on his car. Now, if God wants it pristine, then so be it. But sometimes, and it's mine, and I did, and I accomplished. But if we realize that it's God's anyway, he acknowledges God's blessing. He acknowledges our trials. Paul accepts man's inability. There are things that are out of our control. Some of you have over the years, or maybe even currently, going through treatments for cancer. Sure, there are things sometimes that we can do, or we can eat, or we can expose ourselves to. But many times, we don't. There's something growing inside of us that we cannot necessarily control, and that happens. So what do? We trust God for it. We depend on his power and his strength. He approves, in this case, of others' care for him. God, thank you. And then he affirms any desire he wants. He tells them, this is for the gospel's sake. This is for the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, you're not giving to me. You're giving to God. Yes, I am propagating the gospel, and you're allowing me to minister and allowing me to serve. But God, this is yours. It is not mine. Everything I have is God's and comes from God. So let's start with this morning. What was Paul satisfied with? And what are we to be satisfied with? Look at verse 12. Paul says we are to be satisfied with the grace of God. Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Well, what is Paul saying? What's being abased and what is abounding? What is that? God shows grace to Paul, and here's how he expresses it to you and I. The word abase means to be low, to be humble. Paul says, there's times I've been really, really low. And he says, I know how to abound. There's times that I've been in excess. There's times God has done supernatural things in spite of me, in spite of who I am. God has done things in excess. There are things I've seen. There are people that have been healed. There are lives that have been touched. I don't deserve that, but God has done those in excess in my life. I know how to base. I know how to abound. The miracles that he saw happen. Then he says, I know how to be full. That word full means to gorge or to feed or to be satisfied. God takes care of me to satisfaction. I know how to be low. I've gone through some difficult things, but I also know how to be full. I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. There's times I've famished, I've craved, I desired. There's time I've suffered need. I've fallen short. I've been inferior. I've been destitute. But right in the middle of that verse, he says this, I am instructed. What is that saying? I am instructed. Paul says, I have learned from my trials. His trials were his teachers. His disappointments were his teachers. His discouragement was his teacher. You know, your sickness can be your teacher. Your illness, whatever it is that you've gone through, your frustration, your disappointment, family members, the trials that you have in your life, they can be great lesson learners, can they not? Or they can destroy us and they can defeat us. And with God's help and with God's power, he gives us that strength to overcome. But he didn't complain. His lessons that he teaches us here is that the grace of God and contentment. He saw the beauty of his trials. Do you see the beauty of your trial? Or do you just say, God, get it off me. God, I can't handle this. Or maybe today you don't even approach God. Maybe you can't approach God, you feel. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never understood the grace of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. There's nothing I can do to get something off me. Nothing I can do. But by the mercy of God. See, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He was our grace. He is our mercy. See, what I deserve hell. I deserve everlasting punishment. The Bible tells me that because I have a sin nature. In fact, we talked about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They had everything, but God said of one thing in this garden, you can't have. And that's when sin came upon this world. And so because of that, you and I are born with a sin nature. Whether you wanted it or not, whether you liked it or not, we're born sinners. And because of that, we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Paul accepted Jesus Christ. He was a murderer of believers, of Christians. What happened? Literally, he saw the light, didn't he? And God changed his life. And I'm here to tell you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not about perspective. It's not about just getting over discouragement and disappointment. It's about giving God your life, and he can change your life. And so if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you today, believe on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We just, 2 weeks ago, celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood so I could have everlasting life. In 3 days, we celebrated that resurrection. He rose from the dead, giving us victory over sin, but victory over death. And what a victory that is. We call that the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning. You don't know that. You don't understand that. After the service today, you're welcome. Speak to me. You need to come forward during your invitation. There are people that maybe you're sitting with. Maybe you're a guest with somebody today. Speak with them. There are plenty of people here that can show you the way to Jesus today. So Paul, back to that grace, is satisfied with the grace of God. I brought low. Let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You don't need to turn there. Here's what Paul says of himself. Of the Jew, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Paul is not complaining here. He's just letting us know that this is what has happened in my life. This is what has taken place. There's disappointment that's real. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times we'd say it. I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In the journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by thine own countrymen. If it wasn't for the old English, it would sound like a country western song, wouldn't this? Whoa, this is terrible. In perils in the city, no offense to those that love country music. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. He says, beside those things that are without, not only the external things that have happened to me, but within, which cometh from me daily, the care of all the churches, just day to day. Life can be heavy, can it? It sure can. Especially when there are people around us that they don't have hope. Then he says in verse 29, who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, get this. Here's what Paul says. I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. If I'm going to be excited, if I'm going to be happy in something, this doesn't make sense to us, probably. He says, I'm going to glory in it because it's God's. And if God takes it away, he's going to get the credit. How about in your life? You ever notice that when you accomplish something, look what I did. But when there's a trial or a difficulty, it's always, we talked about that in our life group this morning, it's always somebody else's fault. We're all victims, aren't we? We're all the victim. And Paul says, what I have and what I've been through, I mean, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked. The guy had a snake bite him. What did he do? He flicked the thing off. He just often burned. Anything great? No. God healed him. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 12. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was a given to me. Paul says, I have a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. God, we just heard a song. God, take this from me. God, fix this. And Paul says that 3 times, and God never does. And here's what God answers him. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect. Perfect. God's way is perfect. God's way is best. Not my way, not man's way, but God's way is best. His way is perfect. My grace is sufficient. And then Paul says this, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. What do you get excited about? We don't get excited about our hurts, do we? What happens when we get a little hurt? Last night, we grilled out. It was a beautiful night before it rained. I was grilling out. I reached for something, burned my arm. You know what I wanted? Sympathy. Right? My wife's on the phone. I went, she's just talking. It's like, what'd you do? I burnt my arm. Where? You know how little kids do with a Band-Aid? I need a Band-Aid. For what? That. Where? It's right there. I just want sympathy. What'd Paul say? I'm going to glory in it. Now, that doesn't mean he comes in and says, hey, look at my burn. No, he gloried in it for whose sake? God's. See, when you go through a trial, who takes you through that trial? God does. Through the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ that's in us, his grace is sufficient. He says in verse 10, therefore will I take pleasure. That means I think well of it. I'm willing to go through the infirmity because I know it's God's will and God's way is always best in my life. And sometimes it's necessary for me to see the power of God. And so I accept God's will. And by the way, when we accept God's will, it's not like when you were a little kid and mama made you eat the peas and you plugged your nose and you downed it, you know, or you counted to 10 and hoped it went away, or you washed it down with a glass of milk. That's not patience endurance. That's not what that means. Patience endurance is going through it with what? Joy. No matter what it is. And if we don't understand or get off this idea that I don't deserve it, remember this. Over 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus that hung on the cross of Calvary. Of anybody that ever walked this planet, he did not deserve that. And how quickly, again, we say, it's not right or it's not fair, God. We best function as believers when we realize we can do nothing of our own strength. Everything I have is God's. And that leads us to verse 13. So Paul, he is satisfied with the grace of God. Then we're going to quickly see that he's satisfied with the power. Look at verse 13. This is a great verse. Hopefully you claim it. I can do what? All things through Christ, which what? Strengthens me. Not of my own power, I can't. I want to share with you, if you want to write these down, you can. They're not on the screen. But there are four responses. I do not need to sink under any trial. I don't have to fall under any one trial because there is one in Jesus Christ that can strengthen me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Not one trial can destroy us. Oh, it just takes, I know, one mistake, one problem, one sin, one wrong choice, one wrong decision. I get that. But we have a God that's above that. He can strengthen me. He can help me through it. Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Psalm 31:24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in God. So I do not need to sink under any trial. There's one that can strengthen me. Number two, thought under that. I do not need to yield to temptation because there's one that can give me a way to escape. It says that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. There's no trial, no problem. Nothing has come to you. And then he says at the end of that verse, but I will give you a way to escape. Can I tell you the way to escape is with the power of God in our life? He gives us the way out of it. I think sometimes we have this picture of that we are to be Christian Houdini, so to speak, and we're supposed to perform some kind of incredible deed to get out of it. No, we're to trust and we're to depend on a God who has that power. So I don't need to yield to my temptation because there's one who can give me a way to escape. I do not need to be constantly tortured with improper thoughts and ungodly desires. There's one who can banish every one of those from my mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You're fighting discouragement. You're fighting depression. Think of that verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, the world's seeking peace. We live in a very disruptive society, right? People looking for peace in so many different ways. They just want to be satisfied. They just want their life peaceful. You know, the Bible says what? Be still and know that I am God. How does God speak to us in that still, small voice the Holy Spirit speaks to us? We're talking in our life group this morning. We live in a noisy society, a noisy world, don't we? We're just noisy. We're busy. It's okay to be busy at certain times for certain things. I get it. So many times we are busying God right out of our lives. That will keep him in perfect peace. 2 Corinthians 10 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Then the last thought here, I do not need to dread the future trials and temptations. I don't know. The song says, I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know what? Who holds my hand. Don't you rejoice that God holds our hand? There's one who can strengthen me in the trials of life. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Isaiah 59:1. So as we end this morning, we see God's grace, we see God's power, and then really the key verse I want us to look at for the next few minutes. Paul is satisfied with the provision of God. Oh, God is bragging on God, his grace, God's mercy, God's power in his life. But then as we end this morning, you noticed we get close to the month of November and we all get very thanky, right? We're just thankful. It's Thanksgiving. So what are we supposed to do? Come November, even the end of October, as soon as we eat all that chocolate from Halloween, we get very thankful. And then we kind of think that thankfulness kind of goes into Christmas because, hey, if we're thankful, then maybe we'll get more gifts, right? And so we have this, really, we do, we manipulate. We're to every day do what right? To do what? Give thanks and praise to God. And that's what Paul does here. He's satisfied with God's provision. Real quick, and I think Darren's going to have these on the screen. We'll go through them quickly. Number one, we must all recognize what we have. This is not a matter of perspective. This is not a matter of I'm going to see the glass half full when other people see it half empty. We're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about the true provision of our God. No matter where you are on the financial spectrum, it doesn't matter. We're talking life. We're talking choices. We're talking decisions. We're talking disappointments. We're talking frustration. So what does Paul do? We see what he has in his life. What's he do? Number one, recognize what you have, or recognize what I have. But I have all. Now, is Paul saying I have everything? He says, I have all that I need. There's a song, Jesus Christ is all I need, all I need. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. Is he your all? Is he everything? Is he your satisfaction? Is he at night when you pillow your head? Sure, there's tumult in your life and there's things at work and there's choices, there's decisions. But does he satisfy? Is he your all? Or is it materialism? Is it status? Is it position? Is it if I'm liked? Listen, we can work all day on people liking us. But remember earlier we were talking about we can disappoint people really easy. So what do I have to do when I pillow my head? What do you have to do when you pillow your head tonight? What does pastor do? What do I do? What does Mr. Carlson do? Our school administrator, Mr. Carlson, when he leaves each day. Hey, I trust God that I made the choices and decisions the best for his glory and his will today. That's all any of us can do. Because if our choices and our decision were based on what everybody in this room in our church thinks and believes on any subject, it would drive any of us crazy, wouldn't it? We all have different choices, different desires, different opinions. And so what do we have to do? God, you are my all. You are my everything. Is God your all? The word all means every, the whole, daily. God, as much as I need, you are there. So he says, I have all. Then number two, he recognizes, or we need to recognize, the extent. I have all and it abounds. That word abounds means super abound. I know it's childish. I love Super Bowls. You like bouncy balls, Super Bowls? What I like about them is they just go and you can't control them. Or you throw them down as hard as you can. I love going to the parking lot, look at it as a bouncy ball. Pastor Dan, look at my bouncy ball. And so we'll throw it as hard as we can, and then it goes as high and just bounces. That's that picture. It doesn't throw a pool cue on the floor. It doesn't go anywhere. Or a bocce ball. No, they're not made to bounce. But a super ball, super bounce, super fun. And that's the picture. He super abounds. It's in excess. Do you know your God supplies all your needs? He super abounds above that I could ask or think. The Bible says our cup does what? It runs over. Well, not as much somebody else's cup. It abounds. Deep breath in. It abounds. God didn't have to give you that breath. And guess what? There's another one. It abounds. God owes me that. Oh, does he? God gives, God takes. We become possessive of what we have. It abounds. It's all. It's everything. It overabounds. It's in excess beyond what I deserve. I have all. It abounds. And he says, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. Recognize what I am. I am full. It means to cram, to level, to finish, to fill it up. Some of you like all-you-can-eat buffets. Right? You cram the plate. And by the way, you could go back for more, but you still cram the plate. You don't have to cram the plate. But why? Because we want to be full. It all looks so good, and then what happens 10 minutes later?
Why'd I eat all that?
Like we're really humble about it, right? I shouldn't have done that. We knew going in, what? Man, we're going to abound. It was going to be more. I'm going to be full to cram, to finish. Paul says, man, I'm full. Can I ask you today? Look at God. What are you full of? What blessings? Just even this afternoon. You ever just sit in your house? I do that sometimes. Sit in the house and go, wow. I don't deserve those windows that look outside. Cool. I don't deserve that nice floor. Cool. I don't deserve that carpet. Cool. And I'm being silly, but you just thank God? Or is it, well, been 30 years at that job. Look what that's gotten me. Or is it God? Do we look at what he gives us? It's full. Then he sees the source or the resource. Now, we put down here Epaphroditus, but the point is a fellow laborer, a fellow Christian. The source of so much that God gives us is one another. The community of Jesus Christ. We do not walk the Christian life alone. Yes, because we have Jesus, but we have each other. Where would you and I be without each other? Where would you be without somebody praying for you this week? It's the body of Christ. And Epaphroditus, the fellow laborer, his brother Christian, a companion in labor, engaged in the same work as Paul. He says, this came. Yes, it came from him, but it came from your hands, his brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Recognize we need the community of Christ. We are not an island unto ourselves. We are not alone. We have Christ, and we need one another. And then recognize how it appears is a sweet smell. The giving that you've given to me, it is sweet. It smells great in the nostrils of God. And this has to do with the sacrifice. In fact, he mentions that the next one. Recognize the cost. This goes back to the Old Testament. It's a sweet-smelling sacrifice, a beautiful odor. When you offer your gift of love and care and compassion for another believer in Jesus Christ, when you reach out, when you go above and beyond, when you truly fellowship, we've talked about that word before. Fellowship isn't just going out and eating. Fellowship is carrying the needs and the burdens of other people. That's true Christian fellowship. So Paul says, yes, it comes from Epaphroditus. Yes, he's our fellow laborer. But it is a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. I love springtime. There's nothing sweeter to me than the deep smell of a rose. And you may have your own smells. It's fine. You just drink that in. That's a sweet smell, isn't it? Sweet. A brownie baking? Sweet. Now you're with me. You'll forget the roses, Pastor Dan. The chocolate chip cookie, you walk in. You ever do that? Walk into a house, oh, it smells so good. That's a candle. How disappointing is that? Yeah, it's apple spice pie. Well, that's disappointing. That sweet smell. And then let's end. Verse 19. He says all this, sweet smell in the nostrils of God. It's well-pleasing. It's a sacrifice. It's acceptable. In verse 19, But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. Do this today, please. In your dissatisfaction, whatever it is, recognize the source. And the source is God. Whatever we have, maybe you're dissatisfied. Maybe you're just disappointed. Recognize God cannot and will not disappoint. We may think he does, but it's not because he actively disappoints. It's because we fail to see the goodness and the greatness of a holy God. Because we fall short. So recognize the source. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can I add one for you? It's not on the screen. Recognize who gets the glory. Look at verse 20 and we're done. Verse 20 says this, now unto God and our Father be glory forever. Amen. Hey, whether therefore, 1 Corinthians 10, you eat, you drink, whatever you do. By the way, whatever you do with what God gives you, do it what? To the glory of God. May God give us that strength to realize, to recognize what Paul did, and then say, God, you get the glory. So here's the question as we end. Is God truly the source today of your satisfaction? If you're looking for it in pleasure, you'll be empty. If you're looking for it in position, you'll be found wanting. Why? Because it's not in our place, it's not in our position, it's not in our power, it's totally in the power of God himself. Is God enough for you? Does God satisfy you? You know what we want in the world? Just a little bit more, right? But is God your satisfaction? Is God your strength? And then can you do what Paul says in verse 20, now unto God, our Father, be glory. Glory for today because things are okay today? No. What's he say? Glory for what? Forever and ever. How about we give God glory today? How about we give God praise? How about we become satisfied, not dissatisfied? Beyond perspective, it's truly seeing life the way that God wants us to see it. Let's not be dissatisfied. Oh, it's impossible to make us all happy. That's the difference between happiness and joy. This book's full of joy. Happiness, it's going to fleet. It's for a season. But joy never leaves us because it's in our soul. If you're here this morning, you don't have that inner peace, that joy in your soul, can I invite you to Christ today? You say, I don't know everything about that. You know what? That's okay. We'll have somebody take God's word and can show you. Instantly you're joyful. Instantly you're satisfied? No. But you realize who the source of all of that is. And that's Jesus Christ. So we can help you with that today. Believer in Christ, maybe whatever it is in our life today, maybe we're just struggling with something in our soul. In a minute we'll pray and then we'll have our invitation. We'll have somebody come to the piano and just softly play an invitation hymn. And if God has challenged you or spoken to you in a certain way, I'm going to ask you to come and you just pray and give that to God. God, it may be being satisfied. It may be trusting you. It may be seeing that you do supply my needs. God, thank you. God, thank you that you are the source. Maybe you have a need you just need to pour out to God. I invite you. These steps are for you. We won't rush anybody out of here. This is time. This is the time of the week where we can get alone and spend time with God. And so I trust that you'll be able to do that today.